Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolo Comotti here at Venice Film Festival 71, and today I'm in company with Keith Miller, director of Five Star. Welcome, Keith.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Five Star, the title is not really revealing much unless, of course, you see the film. Can you just outline a bit the film for our audience?
Yeah, Five Star tells the story of a young man whose father dies before the movie starts, and the five-star general of the gang, the Bloods, takes him under his wing. The father was killed under questionable circumstances by a stray bullet, and so the son is kind of trying to figure out what happened, but more so trying to figure out what it means to be a man, while the older one is trying to figure out what it is about what he can do to be a man. So he's a father and a husband, and he has a criminal past, but because of his children, he doesn't want to stay in that life. So he's kind of at a crossroads.
It's kind of it's a sort of parallel between two stories. You know, one is a veteran, the one is a sort of novice, but it's much more than that. And you have the figure of Primo, the veteran, and then John, that is actually the young kid. I'm really intrigued about the research before the film, like how you got in contact, of course, with the LA figure and the Bloods and generals. What did you do on the field before actually shooting?
I met Primo through the lead of my last movie. They were both bouncers in the same bar. And me and Primo had a one-hour on-camera interview, conversation, that ended up being a two-minute piece called Gangbanging 101. And through that, we became close, and we talked more about specific details of his life and things like that. And so the research, per se, was just more conversation. Mm-hmm. And although the Bloods is Los Angeles-based and in origin, Primo is Brooklyn-based.
Exactly.
So he's very based in the communities that you see in the movie. So what I was interested in is figuring out a way to tell this story that asks the questions: what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a son? How does a son define himself in the shadow of the father? Those kind of things.
And the film opens up with this beautiful kind of monologue, and it kind of leaves you a bit pending in a bit. And then, I'm not going to reveal too much, but there's a sort of, you know, joining of this big circle. The structure of the film, you always had in mind to have this sort of, you know, constant back and forth between young and old, therefore Primo and John, or it kind of became sort of natural in a way once you started from a side of it, so whether it's John or Primo.
Well, the ongoing question for me when I was writing it and shooting it, but even more so editing it, was how to balance, how to make it one movie, even though there are two very separate stories. And my main interest in each of the stories is to make sure the individuals come off as nuanced, human, and complex. So I wanted to make sure I could spend enough time, but without us forgetting, oh, right, this is also the other guy's story, too. Mm-hmm. And so that balance was probably the biggest challenge of the edit all the way through.
Yeah, especially when with this kind of subject matter, sometimes it's so detailed within the environment that it develops that sometimes it gets almost, you know, you are alienated by it. Whereas here you have all these big universal kind of, you know, overarching things, like as you said earlier. And I just wanted to ask you if you ever felt that the sort of pressure of being, you know, like a sort of an outsider from the community, and therefore trying to be one of them during the, has ever been like some sort of occurrence that you were like, oh gosh, maybe I'm just looking up in a sort of not very compassionate way. It's more about sort of judgmental way.
Yeah, no, I think that's the underlying question that most viewers don't ask, which is white director, black movie, gangs, you know, I'm a professor, those kind of things. And I actually like that question being asked because I think it's built into it. And I think that the problem, the historical problem of representation of other people is tragic. Mm-hmm. So I go into this very conscious of that, but also engaging and on what I hope to be as human a level as possible. Mm-hmm. So it was never like, oh, wow, Primo's in a gang. That's weird. It's scary. I get to talk to him. It was like, Primo's a nice guy. He's an interesting guy who has checkered past, right, and present. And John is like a confused kid in the movie and in real life. And so when we were in those communities shooting, I never tried to impose. Like, we didn't lock down the projects and say, like, okay, everyone, clear the area. Someone saw us with the camera and the mic, and they're like, what are you doing? I said, do you want to be in the movie? Just walk that way five times. Each time we call action, just walk that way. And so everyone in that scene, John walks through the project, they weren't just hanging out. Mm-hmm. they were in on it. They knew it. When we would call cut, that we'd do it again. In the bar scene, everybody there was like, the bar was actually open. You know, the extras in a lot of the scenes were people who just were like, one of my techniques is to walk into an area with a camera and a boom operator up, and then just people kind of come over and say, what are you guys doing? And I say, you can be in this movie, mm-hmm. right? So I think by not imposing and saying, hey, this is ours now, which is what movies tend to do, we said, hey, this is yours, and we'd like to share it with you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's the way it came across, you know. And Primo has a very deep connection to the community where we did a lot of the shooting. And that was kind of a, oh, so he's okay. So that kind of backed up the connection, the openness that we had. Mm-hmm. But I'm very aware that that representation is potentially problematic.
When you start up projects such as this, it's inevitable, of course, that you start with a sort of preconceived opinion of what you're going to experience in a way. During the shooting, especially during, you know, getting to know the characters and your main figures, what can you tell us from this sort of micro universe that kind of influenced you and maybe changed your opinion on the overall universal problematics that, you know, for example, this story represents, mm-hmm. which is a sort of illegal but recognized and institutionalized, like, vicious circle that apparently America, but not only America, is just trapped but accepts it.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I think, like, made me and Primo close from the beginning was that I kind of didn't allow myself too many preconceptions. Like, people said, oh, he's blood, so it's blood in, blood out, which is a common phrase that people say, meaning it, once you join the Bloods, you get killed if you want to leave. And I didn't say, oh, so Primo, like, I know this much about gangs, I don't know anything about gangs, mm-hmm. right? And I very rarely asked him. I mean, we talked about it, but, like, I wouldn't ask you, like, so how often do you like to have sex, or how, like, what's your favorite food, right? It's not my business. Right, we may learn these things, but so what changed over the course was how close me and Primo and John were, particularly. Mm-hmm. I know, and how we relate to that situation. Mm-hmm. Right, I think the biggest change for me was being with Primo and seeing his change by seeing the ending.
Right,
right, because he, you know, his first response is, "I would have killed that motherfucker." Mm-hmm. Right, I would have grabbed the gun from him, but then he said, "That's the right thing to do." Yeah. Oh, did I just spoil the ending?
Well, never mind. It's good that the whole thing is pretty good to watch, so don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, good. So, yeah, that was the biggest change. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to say what my biggest change was, mm-hmm. because I don't remember where I was when I started it.
Well, that's nice. That's nice, though. Thank you very much, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.